Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Dr. Burkle, of course, gave an excellent sermonette. Certainly, within it, spent some time talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, of course, we're coming upon the Passover season soon. And as I have talked about before, I'd like to try to discuss why we believe the things that we do. Why we do the things that we do when most of the world, and as we know, even most of Christianity, doesn't. So we'll be walking through the scriptures today, spending most of our times on Exodus chapter 12, and then we could take our choice on Gospels, but I'm going to be using the book of Luke. For those who need a title, my title is Passover, Then and Now. And I have studied and heard sermons by Randy Stiver, John Miller. We do have a UCG study paper on this. Of course, our Bible study guides and the UCG commentary. I try to mention every time that, as you know, we have just a wealth of information on the Internet concerning any topic that you want. Certainly the topic of Passover is covered very, very thoroughly. And so if I say anything you like, I give credit to them, and anything you don't like, that's probably my error here. The origins of Passover, or the foundations of Passover, of course, are in the Old Testament and are the basis of Passover in the New Testament. We know that Passover is really the first festival of the year. Everything else comes after this. It's important that we remember that. God does have a plan. He has a reason for everything that he does. This comes first. And we must have this first for everything else to come. Turning to Exodus chapter 12, I'll go through verses first 1 and 2. It says, Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So a calendar is now given. This is the first of Abib, sometimes pronounced Aviv. I think that's just phonetically spoken. Also called Nisan. We probably know it as Nisan more. It's a time when lambing and kidding of the season is, when sheep and goats are being born, trees and plants starting to bud. Now the Jews are under Egyptian rule. So this is when everything starts. And we know the story, but it's good to backtrack and follow through, because this again is the basis of how we get into the Passover in the New Testament. Verse 3, Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. Now notice this is the 10th of the month. Take a lamb. And this lamb, by the way, I think we normally think of it as just being something small. It could be of quite size, because take a look at verse 4. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. So as we will see, we need to have enough people. You need to have a lamb of sufficient size to feed everyone, but you also need to have enough people to consume the lamb that night. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. I think most of us know this, but it's just a reminder that it could be goats also. But it's supposed to be a perfectly healthy animal. And again, it's on the 10th. You keep this lamb separated from all the other animals in the herd. So often, we believe that the lamb became almost hand-fed, almost like a pet for 4 days. It is starting to become part of the family. Then we read verses 6 and 7. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. On the 14th day, we now kill the lamb. This has now almost become a household pet. It's certainly an animal that you have now been with one-on-one for the better part of 3 days, probably 4 days. It's a time of reflection that you now have to turn around and kill this animal as a sacrifice. This leads into the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now we talk about twilight. That's the light from the sky between the sunset and the evening darkness. The beginning of a day, again, we go from sunset to sunset, and you'll see they'll be putting the blood on the doorposts and the lintel where they will eat. And that gets into verse 7, which reads, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the top of the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they will eat." Verse 8. "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it." Now they roast the lamb with unleavened bread. Unleavened bread, again, as we know, and we will see shortly, that things are going to be happening quickly. They don't have time to actually have the leaven rise the bread itself. They're making haste. It's also easier, it's easier to make because you're not waiting for the leavening. And it goes, of course, again with bitter herbs or vegetables. Verses 9 or 10, referring to the lamb again. "Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head and its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire." So again, eat the lamb as much as possible. What you don't eat, or whatever is left over, possibly the entrails and the legs and the whatever, you shall burn it all or consume it with fire. None of it must be left. It's total consumption of what was the living lamb. Verse 11. "And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So again, this is the Lord's Passover. And again, now they're dressed to move. Eat it in haste. It supports verse 8 that we had talked about when we just talked about unleavened bread. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Again, this is the beginning of the 14th, sunset to sunset. Now, Egyptians and, frankly, anyone else who is a firstborn would be killed, which if we think about it, could include an entire family. Not only children, but one or possibly both parents. So an entire household could die this evening. We normally think of children, but again, there's no age here. It could be young or it could be old. Also, the firstborn of beasts, cattle, sheep, all animals. This was a massive, terrifying plague. You can imagine this. It is mentioned in Scripture that every household in Egypt suffered. And think of that. Think of your neighborhood. Think of your community. And every household will have a death. Obviously demonstrating God's power and his glory, as well as to finally convince the Pharaoh to let them leave Egypt. And as we know, he was a very, very hard person to convince. Verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The death angel passed over the Israelites, and their firstborn would not be killed. I will pass over, it reads. The death angel is Jesus. 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Now note, this is a feast. It's not a holy convocation. Work actually can be done during that day. Verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Now, we have now moved from Passover to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's what they're talking about here. But note the end there. This is an extremely important issue. You will be excluded if you disobey God. Verse 16. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So no work except that which you must eat, prepared by yourself, not someone else. Again, this is a holy convocation, slightly different than Passover. No work is to be done as it is required assembly by God. Verse 17. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's where we get the title, of course. For on this same day I will brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day without your generations as an everlasting ordinance. So this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread they're talking about, as we said. And again, notice we are bringing the armies out of Egypt on the same day in order. These are the tribes getting together in order and following their flags or banners that they had to leave the land of Egypt. I think that I will get into it maybe a little bit, but there was estimated there were probably 2 million people moving at this particular time. There are all sorts of estimates. I've heard as many as 3 million. But imagine the size of a city such as, I think I'm correct here, the size of Chicago, suddenly everyone picking up and moving. And just try to imagine that. And the effect, of course, it had on Egypt, the effect it had on themselves. Verse 18. In the first month, again, back to the beginning, we started a calendar. So on the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. I'll point out to especially the children that just before unleavened bread, just before Passover, you can eat pizza. So I'll try to do that. And then we'll have unleavened bread for 7 days. Now I'm going to skip around a little bit from now on in Exodus. But let's go ahead and go to verse 21. It's more or less a summary now that we're coming on of what God told Moses and Aaron. And now there's a semblance of order here of people. Don't forget there are tribes. There are leaders of the tribes. And it says in 21, Then Moses called for all elders of Israel and said to them, Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. I'm trying to emphasize this, that this is at night. They stayed in all night. There are different people that try to merge Passover, what we call the night to be much observed, or the next day, and then the first day of unleavened bread. But it's quite clear here that twilight could mean either, but twilight in this case means when the evening sun has gone down to well before it got totally dark, and again that they were inside all of that evening. Verse 29, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, and this is the passage, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Verse 31, then he called on Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among your people, both you and your children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Dropping to verse 37. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. So we know that there were 600,000 men. And this is actually the announcing of the actual Exodus itself, the name of this chapter of this book. The first full day's journey. And again, we estimate a total of about 2 million people. Verse 38, because there is also a mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds and a great deal of livestock. So among these were also non-Israelites, plus again their flocks and herds. And I think we know, of course, that we will be skipping that in this chapter, but the people of Egypt gave them quite a bit of gold, silver, precious possessions which they owned, that of course the Israelites used. As a matter of fact, this is where they got all of the gold to unfortunately make the golden calf that we won't get into this particular time today. You know, where did they come up with all of that? You know, well, it actually came from the Egyptians. A sinful society making a sinful idol. That's another subject. Verse 39. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. So again, they moved in haste. And again, preparations were made in haste. This supports verses 8 and 11. Now, although Moses and Aaron were trying to get the Israelites out of Egypt, and there was some organization on all of this, they probably had pre-planned, because they knew eventually they would be, with God's help, allowed out of Egypt. Most of the people didn't know exactly what day or what time they were going to leave. So when they were finally told, even though you may have heard, you're certainly praying for, that this was going to happen, they did have to prepare and move in haste. Verse 40 and 41. Now the sojourn of the children of Egypt who lived in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And this occurs, of course, on the first day of, or on the night to be much observed, the preparations. They started marching, and it moved into the day of, sunset to sunset, the first day of unleavened bread. Now we start talking about the night to be much observed. In 42 it reads, "It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations." Again, a night to be observed. And again, I'd like to emphasize, because there are other organizations that don't make this distinction as to when is Passover, when is the first day of unleavened bread, what happens in between. Passover, the 14th, is its night. 24 hours later, on the 15th, the night to be much observed or much remembered, again, a solemn observance. It is not a holy day, but it is a solemn observance reflecting the coming out of sin. And again, Egypt was a very sinful society. Leaven is gone. Verses 47 and 48. "All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it." Gentiles that were converted became Israelites. We often talk spiritual Israelites, but even though they were Gentiles, they were considered Israelites. Now remember, circumcision in the Old Testament was physical. Circumcision in the New Testament is spiritual. We'll touch base on this. You know, is our heart tender for God? We receive this at baptism. Those that have baptism, then they can take the symbols of baptism, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Turn to Deuteronomy 16:4. Deuteronomy 16:4. Now, this is Moses, 40 years later, after being in the wilderness. Deuteronomy, it's estimated, was written 3 months before he passed away. And it was really written, as we know, because a whole generation had now passed away, except for two others. And so this is a second time. This is a second time of teaching the children of Israel. In this case, as we're pointing out, Passover, but of course many other things too. This also, I think, was a time, as you read Deuteronomy, where Moses can reflect back now over the instructions he received from God and how they've handled things now for 40 years. Verse 4 just reads, and it just reaffirms, "And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning." Again, probably beating it now with a dead horse, but this happened the night of Nisan the 14th, not the next daylight hours. I also want to just point out, and just notice here, in verses 5 and 6, I won't read all of 6, but verse 5 now reads, "You may not sacrifice the Passover with any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight at the going down of the sun." Now note here, there's a change. There's a change in Passover. They're not in their homes. They're not sacrificing the lamb in their homes. They're not putting blood on lintels or doorposts. As a matter of fact, they're not to do it within their own gates. They are to go out to a place where the Lord changes. I'm emphasizing this because even during Moses' life, there's a change in how we conduct Passover. The beginnings of Passover is what Christ is building on. The New Testament looks at the text of the Old Testament from which New Testament symbols will derive from. Or again, we will find there will be additional changes coming up on how to celebrate Passover. Okay, that was Deuteronomy. With approximately 40 years, there was a change. Now, 1,400 years later, again, Passover is based on the previous, but there will be notable changes made by Christ, but he did not do away with Passover. So we celebrate Passover. Most Christian organizations do not. Let's turn to Luke 22, verse 1. Luke 22, verse 1. Luke 22, verse 1, and it reads, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover." Just want to take a minute here. These terms were used interchangeably, representing a time period. When you ask someone, "Are you going to the feast?" they will tell you where they're going to go. We don't bother to ask them, "Well, where are you going to go on the eighth day?" "I'm going to go to the feast at Steamboat Springs. I'm going to be at the eighth day at Steamboat Springs." We don't ask that. They go together, but we know they're two different feasts, and we're aware of that. We don't talk about them separately, though we know that they are. So we're speaking in a general sense, incorporating them together. Another example, when Jesus was 12 years old, he went up to the Passover. But it also says that he and his family stayed several days. Of course, then they had left and then came back. This we can find in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. So again, we're just talking about a period of time, a general statement here. Turn to verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed or sacrificed." Again, we're talking about a period of time. We've got an interchange here of words. Now, this is a time to prepare. It's a time to prepare in the Old Testament. It's a time for us to prepare following Jesus Christ. There are things that we have to do. Verses 8 through 12. "And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat.' So they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready.'" The term upper room is used a lot in Christianity. I think if you really look at these two symbols, these scriptures, that this was prearranged. I mean, you just don't walk off to somebody and say, "The teacher says, you know, show me the upper room." You know, the man would just be staring at you. It's interesting that the man knew what was going on. And again, preliminary arrangements must have been made. Now, scholars think that it was the house of John Mark and his mother. John Mark's mother was the sister of Peter. So they were expected guests. They knew that this was going to happen. Verse 13, "So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover." And this is the lamb. They've already had the obtaining of the lamb, the slaughtering of the lamb at this time. And again, a time for reflection. Again, refer back to the lamb had been separated for 10 days or was known by the family. And this enters into the same situation with the apostles and Jesus Christ. Obviously, it was 3 years, but they knew Jesus Christ. This time, they probably didn't really understand what was going on at this particular time. Verse 14, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with them. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, he had talked previously about what was going to happen to them. It's not really understood if they understood, really, or maybe it just was in the abstract, but now it's becoming real. And by the end of this day, it certainly will have become real to them. So again, when evening had come, they sat down. He sat down with the 12, celebrating the Passover meal. They were celebrating the night before, most of the Jewish community does, who celebrated in the next afternoon. We, of course, follow Jesus Christ, who kept it at the evening of the 14th. And again, this is based on what was done in the Passover back in the time of Moses. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians 11:23. 1 Corinthians, keep a finger in this this area here of Luke, but turn to 1 Corinthians 11:23, where it reads, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, was on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Again, just reemphasizing, Jesus Christ celebrated this the evening of the 14th, beginning of the day, sunset to sunset. Confuses people, but the evening of the 14th. Turning back now, we go to Luke, verse 22. Let me just comment on 1 Corinthians. The night of Wednesday, after the meal, Jesus was taken to the high priest's house, then before the Sanhedrin during the night. During the daylight portion, a preparation day for the holy day of the first day of unleavened bread, he was taken before Pontius Pilate, then to Herod, then back to Pontius Pilate again, sentenced, and was crucified. Jesus couldn't eat the Passover meal the next afternoon as he was just a little bit busy that particular day. As to all the holy days that come after this, all those who choose God's ways come under the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have their sins forgiven, we overcome, we grow, and will be rewarded by being entered into the kingdom of God. This is why when Jesus said, "I have fervent desire," it was not only to be with his friends that he had been with for 3 years, the last meal he was going to have with them. There was a period of time in walking to the garden that he had discussions with them. But this was the last meal where he could sit down and talk to them, break bread, eat with them. It was his fervent desire, but it's also the fervent desire for all mankind. Chapter 22, verse 16. I've lost my place. Verse 16, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Note here that Passover will be held in the future. Verse 17 and 18, "Then he took the cup and gave it thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Now, Christ is now making new Passover symbols as he is a sacrificial lamb. It's no longer to sacrifice a lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb. So they took the cup, a symbol of blood. Again, they had eaten the Passover meal in verse 15. Old Testament instructions had been taken care of. This is now the bridge to New Testament sacred symbols. Verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we'll see the broken bread represents the broken body of Jesus Christ later that next afternoon. Verse 20, "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" So this is the new covenant, his example of a new covenant. He wants us all to love one another as he has loved us, as we should be loving our neighbor, as we should be loving ourselves. Sometimes that's the hardest, is loving yourself. It's a progression from the past. We're moving forward from the past. We're now following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is different than the Jewish Passover. There has been a change. But remember, there was a change back in Deuteronomy. Even during Moses' life, there was a change on how to celebrate the Passover service. At this time, with Jesus Christ, they tried to meet in Jerusalem. Certainly did not say that. Back with Moses and Aaron. There was a change. There's a change now. There's nothing wrong with having a change in Passover if we are instructed by Jesus himself, which we are. Turn again to 1 Corinthians 11. Should have warned you about that. 1 Corinthians 11. We'll now read on starting at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. We'll read verses 24 through 26. Again, this is Paul talking several years later. I think it's estimated 60 years later to the church at Corinth. We had heard about them earlier in Dr. Burkle's split sermon. We know that the church in Corinth was suffering a lot of different problems and a lot of different things. And one of the things which Paul wanted to do was reaffirm how we are to celebrate Passover. How are we to perform Passover? Don't forget again, at this time, Paul talked to mostly Gentiles, but also talked to Jews also. So there was a mixture. And there were probably some Jews that wanted to celebrate it a different way at a different time. Again, we're Christians. We're going to follow, again, what Jesus taught. But it reads in verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." There are clear instructions from us, not only from Jesus, but from Paul, the apostle over time, spent 3 years in Arabia, but nevertheless an apostle, that clearly shows us how we should be celebrating Passover. Again, written several years later. Okay. Old covenant was the obedience will give the Israelites national greatness. Now, the old covenant was unconditional to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but conditional as to the tribes themselves at Mount Sinai after they came out of Egypt. But many, as we know, didn't accept these teachings because it wasn't in their hearts and minds. This now, what Jesus instructed us, is a fulfillment of the old covenant. Now, in the new covenant, God writes his laws in our minds and into our hearts, Hebrews 10:16. We are not to flagrantly violate his laws. This is our core belief, one of our core beliefs, not necessarily beliefs of other Christian organizations. Now, the old covenant is the law for a society written on stone so they could read it and follow it, but again, they weren't always faithful. Now, with the new covenant, the law of God becomes our law as well, written into our hearts and our minds. We come to own it. We come to own it along with God. The veil has been torn. We can communicate directly with God, thanks to his Son, Jesus Christ, carrying out God's plan. Now, since we come to own it, this changes our inclination towards sin, our everyday thoughts, the way we act. We are more in tune with God as we are closer with him. We can't think that we can live like the Israelites did, drinking, carousing, lawless behavior, the immortality that they had. Now, this new covenant is a dramatic inward to outward change, from our core, outward change to others, expressing love to one another. So this is the last of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, not done away with. We still celebrate Passover. We have the explanation of the new covenant symbols that were based on, particularly the bread in the Old Testament symbols. The wine was added, although it could be presumed that they drank wine with the original meal, but of course that was not emphasized in the Old Testament. So there's no symbolism with that. They put the actual blood, as we remember, on the doorpost and lintel. Now, we take it internally. God passes over our sins with the sacrifice of Christ. He forgives our sins. He covers them. The origins of the Old Testament are carried through with certain changes. Christ became the Passover lamb. He specifically added teachings that were made as to how to celebrate Passover, including new symbols. Now, brethren, for our upcoming Passover service, those that are not baptized can come to the ceremony and listen to the teachings and watch the taking of symbols of the wine and bread. But those that are not baptized will not be taking of the wine and the bread or watching the foot washing as part of the service. You have to choose to follow God's way before that can happen.